It's time for the book interview.
Boring books, that's all.
Books? Are you nuts?
No, nothing boring here. Money Life will bring you a book that is out right now. A book that will help you learn more about your finances.
A book that will make Ulysses look like it was written in crayon.
Smart books by smart authors that can help you decide how to best manage your money.
It's not a book! It's a weapon!
It's a weapon against making the kind of mistakes that people make in their financial lives. Money Life brings you the books, the authors, and the information to protect you from these missteps and help to keep your financial future secure.
I read your book. I liked it very, very much.
Don't just take it on faith. Hear the authors talk in depth about their books and give you the facts and figures to back up their information.
It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving me the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from your book?
No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
Welcome to the book interview on Money Life, where I'm joined right now by Jeff Poole. He is co-author of Your Insider's Guide to Retirement, the practical guide to transitioning from working to retirement. He is part of the team at Wealth Analytics. You can learn more on Twitter at Wealth Analytics. You can learn more about the book and its processes at insidersguidetoretirement.com. And we have several copies to give away. So if you stick around to the end of today's show, we will have a contest. And I also have a question for you guys about a past contest. I know you're thinking, I'm going to ask you about a contest. Yeah, make sure you stick around to the end of the show because you could win the book or maybe something else. But before we get to that, we've got to chat with Jeff Poole. Jeff Poole, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. So glad to be here this morning.
Now, I really liked this book, which I have to say I'm a little surprised by. Not because I shouldn't like it, but you know, there are two books out there that are really fully dedicated to choosing and working with financial advisors. And I wrote both of them. So when I read other people talking about, hey, you kind of need an advisor, I tend to think, oh, that sucks because it's, you know, competing with my book. Yeah. But it's not. And there's a concept here that I really wanted to talk with you about, because to me, it is the thing that I find most interesting in your book. And I have read a lot of books that cover this ground. But that is the concept of a wealth mentor, someone who literally is helping you with that transition, not just from the standpoint of how do you manage your money, but how do you manage your life? Explain the difference between financial advisor and wealth mentor.
That is absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. And that's the biggest component of this book, is finding a financial mentor. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, on a diet or working out, or maybe you're trying to get to a new spot in your career. I think we've all kind of looked for mentors throughout our past, but we've never really thought about it for achieving financial independence. And that's what this book is about. It's about creating a plan where you win the retirement game. You know, we give the inside scoop on our industry, how to find this financial mentor. It's a guidebook, a roadmap on having an amazing retirement life. And it all starts with finding that mentor.
But explain, where do you find mentors and what's the mentor's role? Because here's the thing. We're talking about, in most cases, working with a financial advisor. And that means you're working with somebody who's still working. And in the traditional sense of mentoring, even in what you said in that answer, we're kind of looking for somebody who's kind of like, no, I'm guiding you through retirement because I've been through retirement. I mean, not necessarily fully retired or what have you, but explain that again, that subtlety of mentoring.
Well, when you're mentoring someone, you're acting a lot more like a, you know, a guide, or you're giving guidance almost on your past experience. And after reviewing a lot of different options and a lot of different choices, that's what you're giving to an individual, versus I think what we're all used to is we're used to a sales representative and an individual that, you know, might call themselves a financial advisor, yet what they're advising is that you buy something from them. You know, their role is there to create some kind of commission. They need to hit a sales goal. And so it might seem like you're getting financial advice, yet they're not really giving you that guidance on how do you create this personal plan? How do you achieve all of your goals? What are the choices to get there? You know, thinking of components far and above investments, but we need to look at your, you know, insurance, or is your home insured to what it should be? Have you saved for college? You know, what's your taxes? Just all these different components to what makes you tick versus being in the sales environment from, I think, what a lot of us are used to. You know, you go in, these financial firms are really like stores and they have products to sell and they may act friendly and so on and so forth, but their intention is to sell you something. I think that's the big difference between, you know, what we think is a financial advisor and what is really a financial mentor.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But I think there's something else here as well, which is that when you talk about a mentor and a mentoring relationship, it's a little less formulaic. And that was something else that I sort of took out of the book. One of the things that makes me crazy about the financial planning industry is, hey, we're working on formulas. We're telling you, you know, if you can make enough money that you can live off of 4%, you will never run out of money. Well, okay. But what that also means is that the financial advisor is going to manage that money with / for you for the rest of your life. And, oh, by the way, might be able to manage it for a lot of years past that. You know, if they're able to get your relatives, because you're going to leave behind a sizable nest egg. And while there's nothing wrong with that, so many people feel that they can't save enough or that they can't spend money in retirement because, ooh, if I spend it down, you know, I might start to wash it out, even though they're not going to outlive their money come heck or high water. So that to me is part of it as well, is that part of this is let's make sure we're finding stuff that works for you and your mentor is maybe helping you spend money, because there are a lot of people out there who they do all the right things and then they get there and they say, okay, I'm supposed to be retired, but they can't bring themselves to spend money and kind of enjoy the fruits of their labor, right?
You know, that's something that we talk about so much, and it really comes into, you have individuals, you know, if we want to put some labels on people, we have savers and we have spenders. And, you know, a lot of people that we talk with, they've been very successful and they've saved and saved and saved. And, you know, the 4% rule and so on and so forth, you know, they get that. Yet you're at a stage when you retire where you're almost giving someone permission to spend. You know, like you said, it's, you know, if your goals are to leave a sizable estate to your kids or to charity, you know, we want to work on those goals. Yet we want you to go have an amazing life. And in terms of your emotions, be okay with spending. And when you put together a plan that I think shows people that they have the ability to live out some of these dreams and it's okay to spend and we're still going to meet your other goals in life, it becomes a bigger talk that's much more personal versus, you know, discussing a product to buy or that type of thing.
A lot of this also talks about coming up with the right mindset, whether that's investing in things that mitigate risk, thinking about cash flows, and what have you. For most people, when they get to you, because they're getting to you when they're seriously thinking about retirement because it's on them. Have they messed up because they weren't thinking this way when they were in their 30s?
I think that there's always room for some type of financial planning. And, you know, I think anyone would say the younger you start, the better, right? Yet you, even at that point, you have to think about when you're at that stage in life, you have some short-term goals, some mid-term goals, and some long-term goals. And, you know, your short-term goals are probably going to take a little bit of priority at that point, you know, whether it's buying a house or kids, or, you know, there's just lots of costs that take place during that time. So when you reach that age, say you're 55, 60, 65, and you're starting to really contemplate that retirement component, I don't think it's a matter of being too late. It's about finding a plan that's really going to work for you. And if you haven't saved like maybe you wish you would have, you know, I think everyone kind of says, oh, I wish I would have saved more, or I wish I would have started younger. Yet that doesn't mean that you can't retire. The biggest component of retirement is really controlling your expenses. You know, you may not need $2, 3, 4 million to retire. You know, there's plenty of people out there living amazing lives that have way less in savings than one would think because they have their expenses in order. And cash flow is, it's the key to retirement. It's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Yeah. And again, cash flow, you can do it and not have to chase yield. And the book doesn't get that much into specific investments. But, you know, we've been hearing a lot about how certain things traditionally don't work because the yield environment has changed. How much are you buying into any of the traditional stuff as a working talk?
We really don't feel overall, I think, when we wrote the book and even when you're talking to individuals, that much has changed. You know, we have two rules. The first rule is don't lose the money. The second rule is send our clients as much money as possible every month so they can go have an amazing life. And those two rules conflict. You know, if we, you know, don't lose the money, if we don't take any risk, well, then, you know, we're not going to be able to send you much of a paycheck to go out and live an amazing life. If we take too much risk, then we've really got to control what we're sending to you, because we could run out if we take too much risk. And I think those two components, you know, no matter how many decades you go back, whether, you know, rates were high back in, you know, the 80s or 90s to all-time lows where we are now, it's still just a matter of looking at your resources and analyzing your cash flow and making the best of what you have. And I think that's where people start to realize, you know what, I can retire, I can do this. And they become empowered, and you start to see some lights go on inside of their thinking, and it becomes a really, really positive transition no matter where you're at.
And that's what the book is designed to do. It's your insider's guide to retirement, the practical guide to transitioning from working to retirement. Jeff Poole is co-author of the book. He's with Wealth Analytics. You can learn more at insidersguidetoretirement.com, on Twitter at Wealth Analytics. Jeff Poole, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
We've got three copies of the book available. We'll give them out later today, but stick around. We'll be right back after this message.